Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving time with friends and family. And I want you to know that I thank God for you. I'm so privileged to be able to serve alongside you here at the chapel. Now, today's a special day because we are not only observing the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes, but we're also going to be able to hear from a variety of speakers in what we call today Speaker Development Day. Now, we did this last year, and you guys were so incredibly encouraging to all of the folks who were speaking. But what we do is, in every venue on every campus, we have an in-person communicator today. And they'll all be communicating from the same passage in the book of Philippians that you'll hear in just a moment. And they were all asked. None of them were seeking this out. This was just an opportunity for us to identify some folks in our ministry, most of them being on the younger side, and to give them an opportunity for development. This is not a scenario where we're trying to set a precedent necessarily. We're just giving them an opportunity to develop because many times they're teaching in different environments, and this will sharpen their ability to do that in those environments, regardless of what those environments are. So there's three things that I really want to ask of you today that you would do. First is that you would pray for them as they're communicating. It's a great opportunity, but I want you to pray for them. Secondly, I want you to pray and ask God to speak to you and to speak to everybody who's going to be listening to these communicators this morning. And then thirdly, I would simply ask that you would be encouraging to them, because all of these folks are growing in grace and in faith and growing in their skill in presenting and teaching the Word of God. And I hope that you'll have an opportunity to maybe speak a word of encouragement to them or encourage them in some other way. But without further ado, why don't we go ahead and encourage them this way? Why don't we, on every campus, in every venue, welcome all of these wonderful communicators to the platform as they share the Word of God with us? Let's give them a big, warm chapel welcome as they come.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. My name is Scott Lackey. I'm a ministry leader here at the chapel. I have the privilege to work here alongside of my beautiful wife, and we just really enjoy getting to be here, and I'm thankful for this opportunity that our leadership has given us to come and communicate to you this morning. A few years ago, I moved up here from Virginia, and I had a job at a youth camp some of you may be familiar with called Circle C down in Delavan, New York. Yeah, some of you know about it. It's a great place. I really enjoyed it. And in my role there, I was a program director. And part of my responsibilities were to oversee staff and to oversee games and to oversee different things like that and to sometimes handle disciplinary issues and those kinds of things. And I had a co-director at the camp by the name of Josh. And to this day, Josh is still one of my closest friends. And we have a lot of fun together. But when we were working together, there were times when we were like completely similar. But there were other times when we could not be more opposite from one another. There were times when we were just complete opposites. And sometimes this really worked out to our advantage. So for example, Josh really enjoyed building things and setting things up. And if I ever try to do something with my hands, it will break. You know, I just can't do it. And so he would set things up and then I would go run a game and it was a lot of fun. And we enjoyed doing things together because we kind of complemented each other that way. But there were other times where us being opposites, it would kind of cause us to butt heads. So for example, if there was an issue with a camper, I would right away say, oh, it's time to send him home. We got to get this kid out of here. This kid's ruining everyone's experience. This kid has got to go home now. I'm calling the parents. I'm getting him out of here. And Josh would be like, okay, let's just think about this for a minute. Let's see what actually happened. Let's talk to the kid. Let's make sure everything is okay. Because Josh had this kind of peace about himself no matter the situation, no matter what happened, no matter what was going on. He had a sense of peace about the situation. This even carried on into our personal lives as well. I remember we were roommates. We were going to college together, and there was one particular time. You know, if you're in here and you're a college student, you're going to know what I'm talking about. When you're a poor college student, like you're trying to get everything for cheap, as cheap as possible. And we heard about this place that gave $5 haircuts, and so we actually somehow this math made sense to us in our heads. We drove 35 miles to get a $5 haircut. And we got to the place, and it was closed. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me right now. So then we drive another 20 miles to go to another place to get our hair cut, and that place didn't accept walk-ins. in the middle of nowhere. Like, they're not accepting walk-ins. Like, we're down in these small towns in western New York just driving, and then we go to another place. They don't have any openings either. Then we finally get to a place back in Arcade, New York, which is right near where we started. And by this point in time, I had driven over 100 miles to now get a $15 haircut. And at this point in time, I was driving a Ford Crown Victoria. So if you know anything about cars, this thing had a V8 engine, so I was getting horrible gas mileage. So I'd spent all this money on gas. I spent more on the haircut than I had wanted to. So I wasn't very happy at the time. But since I was with Josh, the guy who always sees the glasses half full, the optimist of all optimists. Later that night, we were hanging out with people, and you know what he was saying? Guys, I drove 100 miles to get a haircut today. It was the best thing ever. I drove 100. I'm just thinking, dude, this is not cool to me. Like, I wasted money today, and you think this is cool right now. But no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, Josh was always able to find joy in what happened. Josh is always able to find a peace in the situation. And I'm sure that a number of us in here know somebody like that. That no matter what it is that's going on in their life, they can find peace. They can find joy. And we sometimes get a little frustrated with these people. You know, we want to complain to them about what's going on in our lives, and they won't complain with us. You know what I mean? You wouldn't believe what they said to me. Well, did you think that they might be going through this right now? You're like, would you just please complain with me for 2 seconds? Like, why? They won't complain with you. Or sometimes we assume things about them. Like, they try to say, put a positive spin on everything. And so we just say to ourselves, you know, they just haven't experienced all of life yet. They just don't know. Or they haven't been through everything yet. They haven't been what I've been through. So I'm glad they have a good perspective on the matter, but they just don't know. They just don't know. And so we kind of like write these people off sometimes. But what if I told you today that this way of finding and discovering peace, no matter the circumstance, what if I told you that this is something that can happen in each and every one of our lives? Because no matter who you are today, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, no matter whether you've been in church for a lot of years or whether this is your first time in church, I can guarantee you of this, that every single person in this room wants peace in their lives. Don't we all want peace in our lives? Doesn't everybody want that? No matter who you are and where you're from, we all want peace in our lives. We all want to be like my friend Josh, who could find and discover peace no matter the circumstance. We don't want to be worked up all the time. We don't want to be frustrated all the time. But so often, that's what seems to happen. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some encouragement from the Apostle Paul on how we can discover peace in our lives. And maybe you're here and like I said, it's your first time, or you're just kind of new to this whole church thing. You're like, well, who's the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was a real person. He lived over 2,000 years ago. He's a really interesting story. He actually hated Christians and was leading the way in persecuting Christians. And then he encountered Christ and gave his life to Christ and became arguably the most influential Christian in history. He wrote about half of what we have today as the New Testament. And we're going to look at his words today, is what he had to say to a church in a small place called Philippi, the church at Philippi, in this book, Philippians. And we're going to be going towards the end of this letter in Philippians chapter 4. And he has some very specific instructions that I think will be helpful to each and every one of us as we are striving towards finding and discovering peace in our lives. So you can either open up your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 or follow along on the screen. We're going to look at Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, when Paul says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So he goes on to talk about this peace of God that transcends all understanding. And I believe that that's something that each and every one of us can experience, and that each and every one of us can access in our lives. And so for us to get there, though, I want us to look at three different words that we find in this text, and we're going to kind of open them up and unpack them a little bit so you can write each of these words down as we go through. And we're going to see how we can get to the point of experiencing this peace of God that transcends anything we can understand. And the first thing is this, the word always. 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 It means never ending, all the time, continuously. Look at what he says in Philippians 4, verse 4. We'll go right back there. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So he starts this thing off right away. Rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say occasionally. Doesn't say when you feel like it. He says always. Some people would actually say the most appropriate way to translate this would actually be to say celebrate in the Lord always. I will say it again, celebrate. You see, in Paul's time, people would have been familiar with that idea of celebration because a lot of the other pagan cultures of their time in Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi, they would throw big celebrations and festivals for their gods. And so this was an idea that they were familiar with. And Paul's saying, if you serve the Lord, if you are in the Lord, you can celebrate always. So maybe you've thought before that Christianity is just some religious drag of, oh, I should do this, I can't do this, I should do that, I can't do that. It's so much more than that. We have been given permission and an opportunity to celebrate always, to rejoice always. And so then you might be saying to yourself, well, that sounds good for Paul, to rejoice always. That sounds good for him. But Paul doesn't know my situation. Paul doesn't know what I've been through. Paul doesn't know where I've been. So he might be saying, oh, rejoice always, but he doesn't know me. And I get that. And you know what? I'll meet you there. I can almost guarantee you that when Paul was writing these words and penning these words through God's inspiration, that he was not thinking of you specifically. I'll give you that. I'll meet you there. He probably wasn't thinking of you specifically. But I think we can have a little bit more weight to what he was saying here when we consider the situation he was in. See, when Paul was writing this, he was in prison probably for the second time, and he was in death row. He had been beaten. He had been persecuted just for preaching and declaring the gospel. And he's sitting in prison, and he writes these words. We actually see earlier on in this book, in chapter 1, in verses 12 and 13, he has this idea that his chains have actually helped to further the gospel. As he's been locked up, he's been able to share the gospel. And then he actually continues to write on to this church in Philippi, who they themselves were experiencing persecution, to continue to press on as well, encourages them as well. So we can consider the context of where he is, and we can consider the context of what was happening in Philippi as they were experiencing persecution as well. And he writes these instructions to rejoice always, to celebrate always. That adds a little bit of weight to think about, okay, if this guy is sitting in prison on death row and he can think that he has a reason to celebrate always, maybe then we should consider what it is he has to say. Maybe we should consider what it is that God is calling us to here in this passage. To rejoice always, always, no matter the circumstance. You see, sometimes what I think happens is we don't want to open up the scriptures, and some people are like, oh, people don't want to open up the scriptures because of what they ask us not to do. And I get that, but I think a lot of the times the reason we don't want to open up the scriptures is not because of what they ask us not to do, but because of what they call us to. They call us to celebrate, to rejoice always. And if Paul can celebrate and rejoice in prison, then you can celebrate and rejoice in your pain. Whatever it is you may be experiencing, whatever it is you may be going through, you can celebrate and rejoice. Why? Because we serve a good God. Once we've turned from our sin and we've given our lives to Jesus, he calls us his children. He tells us we are a new creation. We have the opportunity to be a part of his church, of the body of believers. And he has given us good things in Christ. And he tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So we may not be in control. We may not understand everything that is going on right now, but we serve a good God who calls us his children, who has our best intent at heart, and he will see us through even when we don't know what's happening, so we can rejoice always because of who he is. and what he has done in our lives. We can celebrate always. But for us to realize this, we have to address something. It's our second word, and this word is kind of the elephant in the room. Anxiousness. Anxiousness. This is that thing that you might personally recognize in your life. Hey, I'm a little bit anxious sometimes. We easily recognize it in other people's lives. Oh, that person's such a worrywart. Oh, they're wound up so tightly. Oh, would they just please loosen up? They're always stressed out and worried. Like, we quickly recognize this in other people's lives. But for us to recognize anxiousness in our own lives publicly, that's a little bit tough for us to wrestle with sometimes. But this is something that I believe has affected each and every one of our lives. Maybe some of you are going through it right now. I know for me, I'm a very anxious person. Just talk to my wife. I am one of the most impatient people in the world sometimes. I hate lines. I hate traffic. I can't stand waiting for things. Just a couple months ago, we were on a double date with very close friends of ours, and we were on our way to a concert up in Toronto, and I had planned the whole day out perfectly. We were going to leave at 2 o'clock, and then we were going to get there at 4, and then we were going to eat dinner, and then after dinner, we were going to head over to the concert, because we had to get to the concert on time, because this concert, you didn't have tickets. It was like first come, first serve in the door. Well, we got on the QEW, and some of you know what I'm about to talk about. The traffic was horrid. It was awful. And so we're sitting in traffic for well over 2 hours, and we end up taking some back roads, and I'm frustrated at this point in time because my plan has been messed up. And some of you know what I'm talking about. When the plan gets messed up, it's not good after that. So the plan has been messed up, and we are on our way to this concert. And the concert starts at 6:30, and we finally get there, and I can see the venue. It is in sight. We are going to make it to the concert on time because it's 6 o'clock. And then everyone in the car says, "I'm hungry." And to which I think, we are not about to stop and eat because we are going to be late to this concert. And then, of course, next to the venue, there's a Tim Hortons. So everyone's like, "Can we go to Tim Hortons?" Okay, we'll go to Tim Hortons. So I pull in the lot, and then everyone says, "Oh, we have to go to the bathroom." I'm like, no, we do not have time to go to the bathroom right now. That is not going to happen right now. We are going through the drive-thru, and you will decide what you want before I get up to the speaker, and we will get what we need right now. We will go through the drive-thru, and then we get to the drive-thru. I would like to order a maple French toast bagel. We'd like to order a maple French toast bagel. Oh, we don't carry maple French toast bagels here. Well, what do you want? Then they can't decide what they want, and we're waiting in line. And I said, "Can you please just decide what you want? Because we are going to be late for the concert." And so then we get through Tim Hortons. We finally get our stuff. I whip out of the parking lot, and I drive up to the venue. And we get to the venue, and I park our car. And can we sit in the car and eat? No, we cannot sit in the car and eat. We have to get in line because we're going to be late to this concert. And by the way, this is a Christian concert. We know the best way to go to a Christian concert is with an extremely bad attitude. And so we are on our way to this Christian concert, and everyone's walking and eating, and the food is falling all over the place. And like, "Scott, would we please?" "No, we don't please. We have to move because we can't be late." And so we move and we get there, and I'm standing, "Hey, so how's everybody doing?" And nobody wants to talk to me at this point in time because of the weight of my anxiousness and the pressure of my anxiousness. Our anxiousness affects other people. And as silly and as goofy as it seems, it affects other people. Some of you are anxious sitting here right now. Did I feel my phone buzz? Did it buzz? I wonder if I can check it right now because he's speaking right now. I'm just going to pull it out. No one will see. I'm going to do the little half check. You know, you do the little half check where you look around and you think, "Somebody called me? Nobody ever calls me. This could be an emergency. What could be going on? This could be an emergency. 7 messages. They sent me 7 messages. I got to get out. Should I get out? Should I move from church? Should I go? Should I leave right now?" And you're wondering, because you're getting anxious. Some of you are getting anxious thinking about your plans after church today. Okay, I have to get out of church. I have to go to the grocery store. And then we're having company over. But I got to get in time home for the Bills game because the Bills are about to go on a huge win streak and make the playoffs. And I can't miss that right now. And so I have to get out of here. I have to make this happen. I have to, what if happens if I get caught in a line at the grocery store and then all of a sudden the company gets there before I do and I miss the Bills game? I'm going to book it to King's World and I'm getting my kids out of here and we're getting to the parking lot and we're pulling out and we're getting home on time. And you can feel yourself. Some of you are getting anxious just hearing me talk about this right now. We live in this constant worry and anxiousness and hurriedness. But the scripture is clear here. Paul is clear here when he says, "Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. And this echoes the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says the same thing. Do not be anxious. Some of your translations might say, do not worry. It doesn't say when you get anxious or when anxiousness comes, do blank. It says, do not be anxious. And here's why I think we get so wrapped up with anxiousness. And this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but just follow me for a second. I think a lot of the time we get wrapped up in anxiousness because we like it. We like it. What happens when I'm on my way to a concert and I get worked up and anxious? Who are all the eyes on? Me. What happens when you're getting anxious about who might have messaged you right now? Who are all the eyes on? You. You're wondering, are people seeing me? Do they see me? Do they see me? When you're on your way home trying to get ready and you're pushing everyone around, and who are all the eyes on? You. And a lot of times our anxiousness ends up being expressed in complaining as well. Think about that coworker or that boss who really bothers you and really gets you uptight on the inside. What happens? You get worked up, and then you go and complain about them. And you complain about how you're the smartest person in the world, and you know everything, and if you were in charge of the company, everything would be fine, and everyone else around you doesn't know what they're doing. And then you get to paint this picture to other people about how you're super intelligent, and everybody else around you is just like, ugh. And that's what happens. Our anxiousness ends up being this drama revolving around us. Revolving around you, revolving around me. And so this is something that when Paul speaks, he's very clear and he says, do not be anxious. And when we get wrapped up and driven by anxiousness, what we're doing is we're saying, I need to take control. I need to be in control of the situation. I know what's best. But when we're not wrapped up in anxiousness, what we do then is we turn and we give the situation to God. And this leads us to our next word, appreciation. Appreciation. Look at what Paul says in this passage when he says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's not just a day where you feed your face, but it's a lifestyle. With thanksgiving, it's a way of life. It's a way to come to God in thanksgiving or in appreciation. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So to come before God in thanksgiving or in appreciation and present your requests to Him. So what we come to find then is that if we are living lives of celebration and appreciation, we begin to eliminate anxiousness. When we celebrate always, and then we're always coming before God with hearts of appreciation, thanking Him and coming to Him in prayer for who He is and what He has done, and desiring His will for our lives, we begin to eliminate the anxiousness that comes so quickly. But sometimes here's what I think happens. We may not have ever explicitly said this. You may have never explicitly said this to yourself, but here's how I feel like we kind of view life and how we view this passage. Step one, I am going to rejoice. And I'm going to be a person who rejoices. And then the reason I'm rejoicing right now is because it's preparing me for that season of life when I get really anxious. And when I get really worked up, so I'm going to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice so that I can prepare myself for when I am anxious. So I'm rejoicing, then something happens, it throws a kink in the plan, it's not what I expected, it's not what I thought. So step two, I'm anxious now, but I'm in a better spot because I was just in a season of rejoicing. And so I'm going through this anxiousness right now, and I'm going to deal with it, but I'm going to go to God in prayer and try to have a heart of appreciation. And so then the anxious will eventually go away, and then the cycle will start all over again. And I'll rejoice, and I'll get anxious, and then I'll be a person of appreciation, then rejoice. And then it kind of go in this circle of like, okay, here's the circle of life, and here's how it goes. But what if anxiousness did not have to be a part of that? What if anxiousness did not have to be a part of that cycle? What if it did not have to be part of the equation? Notice what Paul says here, that the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we turn from our sin and we surrender our lives to Christ, and he becomes the Lord and Savior of our lives, and we spend daily time in his presence, celebrating for him for who he is and what he has called us to, we then begin to have a perspective of thanksgiving and appreciation. And when we have that, we begin to have this peace about life that other people don't have, that the rest of the world doesn't have. We begin to experience this peace of God that transcends all understanding. We'll be going through something and other people may not be able to recognize, hey, why do you have such a peace about this right now? Because I've given my life to Jesus. And there's something greater in him. And the good thing about serving Jesus is we may not always see the light at the end of the tunnel, but he does. And Jesus has promised us that in this world we will face trouble, but we can take heart because he has overcome the world. See, what happens is, he says the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That term guard is a military term, like a king protecting his castle, like protecting his people. The peace of God places you in a position of protection. Anxiousness leaves you exposed. Anxiousness leaves you exposed to complaining, to selfishness, to sometimes ignorance about others and people's situations. Anxiousness leaves you exposed to always being worked up and trying to take control of your life. But the peace of God guards us. It places us in a position of protection. So when we approach God always and live lives where we are always celebrating because we may not always understand what is happening. We may not understand what is going on. We may not understand why we are going through what we are going through. We begin to see that we can then appreciate him for carrying us through those seasons that we didn't fully understand. And we appreciate him, we appreciate our lives, we appreciate what he's given us and what he has called us to. Here's what we begin to understand, folks, that peace is always possible. Peace is always possible. You may think to yourself, no, it's not. No. But when we look at, like I said, Paul's situation, and we see where he was in what he was going through, and he was still experiencing this peace of God that transcends all understanding, we begin to see and understand that peace is always possible. When we're a people of celebration and appreciation, peace is always possible in Christ. Paul goes on to say in chapter 4 that he has learned what it means to be in need, and he has learned what it means to have plenty. I'm paraphrasing here. But he has learned to be content no matter the circumstance. He's been in need, he's had plenty, but he has learned to be content no matter the circumstance. In other words, I have discovered what it means to have peace no matter the circumstance. And so you may be sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, my friendships right now, my relationships do not look the way that I wanted them to look. Turn to Jesus and find that peace is always possible. You don't have to get worked up about this. You don't have to get worried about this, because he will invade our lives. He will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Your job situation, you may not understand it right now. You may not be at the place in your career that you want to be right now. Turn to Jesus, because peace is always possible. Maybe you're a student and you applied to college and you didn't get accepted into the school you wanted to, and it kind of messed up your plan a little bit and you're worked up on the inside. Turn to Jesus and find that peace is always possible. Your family may not look the way you thought it should look right now, or be at the place you want it to be right now. Turn to Jesus and find that peace is always possible, and this peace will transcend anything that we can understand. You might be in a season of life right now, whether you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s, wherever it is you are right now in life, and you might be saying, I thought this season was going to look a little bit different than the way it looks right now. You can find in Jesus that peace is always possible. That it may not be what you thought it would be, but you're exactly where he wants you to be right now. You just have to give it to him and let him use you where it is that he has placed you. The scripture calls us to this. The scripture calls us to understand that we can have hearts of celebration and appreciation no matter the circumstance. And when we do that, we find and discover that peace is always possible. Write that down. Take that home. Remember that. In Christ Jesus, we will experience God's peace. So maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision to give your life to Christ. We would invite you to do that later on in the fireside room after service. That's the best decision you will ever make. And you will experience a peace that just surpasses all understanding. Or maybe you're here this morning And you're like me at times, and you've bought into the lie that, oh, it's okay to be anxious. Oh, it's okay to be negative. Oh, it's okay to not always have, you know, I'm just real with people. I'm just real. You know, you bought into that. Oh, I just see things the way they are. And you bought into that, and you use it as a reason, an excuse, and I do as well, to complain or to have a negative perspective. It's time to take that and go to Jesus and become the people he has called us to be, because when we become a people of peace, the world will notice a difference, and people around us will begin to notice something about us. And when we live a life of peace, we will begin to reach every man, woman, and child with the gospel of Jesus Christ as he has called us to do, because people will notice that there's something different about us. Maybe today, as a Christ follower, you're here to just take that next step. And then here in a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper and think about what Jesus did for us on the cross, and his sacrifice initiated reconciliation to God for us, or initiated peace with God for us. We have amazing and wonderful things to be thankful for, especially when we come to serve a God who brings us to the understanding of the reality that peace is always possible. Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Jesus, thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. As we live in a world that is so easily influencing us towards being anxious, and there's things in our lives that feel like they're collapsing and we don't always fully understand, may we trust that you have what's best for us. So we are your children. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. May we seek you above all else. May we turn to you constantly in celebration and appreciation for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives and what you are going to do. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. In your name I pray, amen.